RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Caleb Williams is one of the greatest quarterback talents that I've ever evaluated coming out in the draft, right? He has got it all. There's nothing that I look at in Caleb Williams' game to go, there concerns me, right? I feel about as confident of Caleb Williams as I do with C.J. Stroud last year, as I did with Joe Burrow, as I did with Patrick Mahomes, right? Where I just was like, nope, there's nothing to worry about. This guy can do it all. And then
it's Gabe Ramirez and Mark Grody on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
And a lot of us here in Chicago hope that Chris Sims is right, talking about Caleb Williams there. It's Gabe Ramirez, it's Mark Grody, broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Groats, you know, when you're looking at these two situations, I just, in my mind, the last, you know, bits, because obviously the story is always changing and what you're thinking is always changing. For me, you know, over the last 12 hours or so, all I've been thinking about is Justin Fields. Mm. Where he's at as a person, and, you know, like, you know, he stopped following everybody. So where are you at? Where in the world is Justin Fields? Share your location, Justin. I want to know where you're
at. GPS on this guy. What are you doing? How are you feeling?
And yeah, because, you know, there's a part of me. What percentage of you thinks that the Bears will trade away the first pick? I know this is going to be an ongoing thing.
The number one overall pick? Yes. What percentage of me thinks the Bears will trade the number one overall pick? I would say 1.3%.
Really?
Very little chance of them trading the number one overall pick.
I'm a little higher than that. Mm. Just because I think that...
How high are you right now?
17%? 17 to 22 in that range.
Okay. Wow. So you really think that there's after everything?
No. I'm more the 22%, the 17 to 22 is more for the lunacy of other NFL teams thinking that someone might
do something crazy.
Crazy.
Okay.
Where you just can't.
So you allow for, it's almost like an emergency percentage.
Exactly.
You're allowing just
in case. And I think
it's
higher than like a 1%. The assumption being that someone could, multiple teams could do that. And then at that point, you're like, oh my God, what are we going
to
do?
You know what I would like to know? I would like to know if, let's say, something happens with Caleb Williams as we get closer to the draft, and there's something that it's a deal breaker.
Yeah.
They don't want him anymore for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even going to make up scenarios.
He cries in the meeting room or something.
Yeah, he cries out loud.
I heard
not just tears, but like, like a real, actual hold me sobbing, if you will.
Inconsolable.
Inconsolable.
That's great.
Let's say that happens. He's just inconsolable and he can't stop crying. Okay. What is on Ryan Poles' mind?
Yeah. He's like, hey, Justin, the speech is already, listen, let's be very clear.
Yeah.
The speech is written for Justin Fields if he stays on this team.
Okay. So if that happens, are they still, let's say they've, no, hold on a second. I'm going to add to my scenario here in real time.
I love this.
Justin Fields has been traded. Caleb Williams is their guy. But a month before, 3 weeks before the draft, something happened. The crying, the inconsolable occurs. Are the Bears thinking right there then, who is their second quarterback? Is it Drake May?
TB.
It is TB.
Tyson Bagent.
Oh, Jesus.
I know you thought Tom Brady for a second.
I didn't even put him in.
Tyson Bagent.
I didn't even put him in.
I did that on purpose.
Who is, or would it be, okay, actually, I'm sorry. I think it'd be better to do this scenario with Justin Fields is still on the roster. If Caleb Williams is not available,
okay.
Is Ryan Poles drafting Drake May or Jaden Daniels, or is he then trading Justin Fields for the world? They trade down. Are they going to go to plan B, or are they thinking about keeping Justin Fields?
You're saying if Caleb is not the guy, what would
then what do they do?
Then?
You put that a lot better than I was. Yes, if Caleb Williams is not what they thought, when you have Justin Fields is still on the roster, you have those other prospects in Daniels, Penix, Nix, McCarthy. What then?
I think it depends on who's giving up the assets to trade for the number one pick.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Because if it's two, maybe you do go Drake May like I want.
Yeah.
If it's five to the Giants, you know, maybe you're on Malik Nabers there.
Yeah.
You know, with Justin Fields and some more capital.
What do you think is the explosive deal to your earlier point?
Yeah.
About you got to keep 17% in your pocket just in case some team does something crazy. Is there something in your head, or is it just you can't even imagine what somebody would come up with?
Weren't you blown away by what the Bears got from Carolina?
I sure was.
And that's what I'm talking about.
But I think it has to go beyond that.
Agreed. Yeah. But that's my point, where it's something that your brain is not even able to compute.
Gotcha.
In real time.
So you can't really answer that
question. Well, I can now because I've seen what I was blown away with last year.
And how well it worked.
And so I can say, what will blow me away this year? You know, if it is, I don't even want anybody in the Giants, but if it's let's just say it's the Chargers. And, you know, let's just say
Bosa.
It's Bosa, two first round picks, a second and a third.
Oof.
And you're like,
two first round picks
and Mike Williams, because we're going to cut him, so we might as well just give you Mike Williams as well.
And there's a decent chance that the Chargers still won't be great next year. I mean, I think Harbaugh's going to make them better, but.
But that's my point. Like, that in my mind, that is what ridiculous sounds like.
Okay. No, you answered that well. You answered that well. Yeah. Okay. So just beyond the DJ Moore and number one overall pick last year.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is. That's a great reference point because that was neat how well it worked out. It was awesome to see, the player you got was your superstar.
And you didn't have a wide receiver?
So that was pretty spectacular. And then to be in the position talking about what we are talking about right now because Ryan Poles did business with the Carolina freaking Panthers.
Didn't like the number 9 pick in exchange, though. I do remember that. It's too far down from 1 for me last year.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm with you. Actually, you know, again, my mock draft will tell you that there's been a trade.
All right, let's just take one phone call, then I want to hear your mock draft.
I shouldn't keep bringing it up.
Because now we're in. John, out in Wonder Lake. What question
How
you got for
you?
Gabe McGrody? You're doing great, man.
Thank you for taking my call. Big Bears fan, Bears. Big Score fan. Love all you guys. Here's what aggravates me a little bit. If you look back at the 1985 Bears that won the Super Bowl, they were a team. There's not an I in team. You have a great quarterback in Justin Fields, and nobody builds around him because he can't do up to his talent, I don't think, because he's getting 85 hands in his face. Just like McMahon. He was a decent quarterback, a great quarterback, but he was able to get protected so he can maneuver the play as is and the way it's supposed to. If you build an army, you have the front row of defense.
Yeah, yeah, I get you. John, but to be clear, I want to be clear on your point that you're trying to make, which is you think the Bears are wrong by not trying to build around Justin Fields, correct?
I think they should build around. They'll have more opportunity rather than taking the number one spot and you have one superstar.
I hear what you're saying, John. I hear what you're saying. Don't agree with it, but I hear it. I hear what you're saying. The argument's been made, but we're past that point now, I think.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, the idea that, I think, what was he saying? Like doing the 85 Bear comp, like that offensive line was great. That was a great offensive line the Bears had in the 85 team. So I understand, trust me, of all people, I understand the reference points from which people come. The Bears offensive line was not a disaster last year.
No.
Well, it wasn't. I mean, it was fine, but it wasn't like, again, I think we talked about this the other day. There are so many people that I've heard, including on this radio station, from a national perspective, who just go through kind of this lazy bullet points of, oh, the offensive line is a disaster. And like, really, there were some super encouraging things that happened on the offensive line. Yes, the center position disaster, but you still, you had a rookie on the right side who had a really nice year in Darnell Wright, right?
Yeah.
You had Tevin Jenkins just bawling out no matter what guard position you put him at, to the point where it's like, is this guy going to be the pro? He's not quite Pro Bowl, but it was like, it actually goes through your head. Nate Davis, once he got his stuff together and he had some legitimate personal stuff going on, he's really good. And Braxton Jones, kind of an incomplete, but we know what he has accomplished as a fifth rounder so far. So when people like give this like narrative about how, oh, they're just knocking down, it's not true.
No.
It's not true.
He's Mark Grody. I'm Gabe Ramirez. This is 670 The Score. Grody, worst defense in the NFL last year in terms of pressure rate. Okay? Because I think this is important in the conversation we're talking about.
Okay.
To just change people's mindset when talking about the offensive line. Because what I'm tired of is this notion that, oh, if Justin Fields had a better line, then he'd be great. But what you failed to include in that equation is every quarterback is getting pressured because every defense is very good. So I go look at the pressure rates, which I have in front of me. The worst defense in the NFL in terms of pressure rate, Carolina Panthers, at 30%. Mm. 10 times you drop back, there is complete pressure on you. 30, with the worst team? If Justin's getting pressured half the time, right? Let's say it's 50%. Like, the deviation from what is the worst? Like, do you understand what I'm saying there? Like, everyone's dealing with pressure.
Yes.
It's not just Justin Fields offensive line.
Well, in our bubble, though, it is just Justin Fields.
And that's why I'm bringing this up.
Yep.
Because the assumption is every other team isn't getting pressured by the defense. Only the Bears, because the offensive line sucks.
Right.
And it's like, no, every team is.
Exactly.
The Dallas Cowboys are at the top. This is how close every team
is.
Dallas Cowboys are at the top of this, and they're right around 44% pressure rate. So when they're at 44, what it tells you is everyone's getting pressured.
Of course. We always talk about the elite, but that's why defensive line and defensive ends are elite, or need to be elite, premium positions in the NFL.
I think it's tough. It's tough growth when people are like, hey, the offensive line. It's like, no. Defensive lines do that.
Right. And look, you had a elite wide receiver on your team last year. I would say you made the most of your connection with him, but where was everybody else? Like, I think one of the things, unfortunately, Justin Fields showed that he was not able to diversify as much beyond DJ Moore. And I know that's a guy that you want to throw to.
Yeah.
But, like, you still have to be able to find Darnell Mooney and get that connection right with a guy who's capable of getting 1,000 yards. Tyler Scott had definitely kind of sabotaged himself a lot this season with the drops that he had, but zero progress there, zero progress in Velus Jones. Good chemistry with Cole Kmet, but, you know, when you have a guy like that, you have to be able to create an alternative, and that's one of the things that Justin Fields didn't do.
Let's go back out to the phone lines. Let's go to Sheik out on the west side. Sheik, what up?
Sheik.
Hello, gentlemen. Greetings and salutations. Gabe, it's always a fancy to speak to you.
As always.
Mark, it's my pleasure to be with you, and big fan. But anyway, I'm still in the Fields camp for two very distinct reasons.
Write these down, Gabe.
Okay. I'm going to go pre and post. Is the last 3 years as a Bears fan, I had to literally accept the fact that 3 years ago, or 2 years ago when Post started, they were tearing the team down. They literally wanted to be the worst team in the NFL. We got rid of our two best players.
Hold on, Sheik. Time out, Sheik. Everyone that's listening to this radio station knows the history. Let's skip to the point.
Okay, the point is, Justin, he's at least a top 8 to 12 quarterback. And I don't know if I'm willing to roll the dice on Caleb being a top three or four quarterback.
Okay.
And the point is, last year, when everybody's talking about how pressure, like you guys just said with pressure, you know, the thing is, none of the wide receivers are open. I went to multiple games last year, not just watched on TV. And when you go out there and look at the plays on the field with no commentary, no outside influence, and you look on the field, I can't believe DJ Moore had as good of a year as he had. He was literally the only threat as a wide receiver defenses had to worry about.
Now, Cole Kmet.
No, as a wide receiver.
No, as a wide receiver.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So getting back to that, there was no other wide receiver on the Bears that caught a touchdown after week two. Week two. Please don't tell me that's Justin's fault.
Okay. I hear what you're saying.
Hey, Sheik.
And, you know, this is my guy. So
I don't know. Like Sheik.
But wait, because I have a question for you. No. I got a question for you.
Sheik.
Got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
You say if Justin Fields is a top 8 to 12 quarterback for you. Was he an 8 to 12 quarterback this past year?
No.
Okay. Was he a top 8 to 12 quarterback the year before that?
Oh, that sample size that I'm, or that.
Do you see where I'm going, though? Wait. But you see, Sheik, you see where I'm going, though? Jake. Right? So you're telling me he's an 8 to 12 quarterback, but he's never done it and nor shown anything of it. But you're hoping and you're like, I think if you give him these things, he can. I don't want to do that anymore, Sheik. I don't want to do that anymore. So no one wants Caleb Williams to be a top 3 or 4 quarterback. Get me to the top 10 where Justin isn't. Yeah. Be a top 8 to 12 where Justin hasn't been for the last 3 years.
Get me to 3,000 yards.
So I think that you're putting expectations on him that I don't think people really are. You're saying, oh, Caleb Williams is not going to be the best quarterback in the league. No, me neither. I don't care. Guess what? I don't need him to be. But if I can get him in that 6 to 10 range, 6 to 12 range where he's in that conversation, then that's fine.
And it also shouldn't be so complicated for people to make a case for Justin Fields. They bring their own bag of tricks because it's not just Justin Fields. Right. They got a bag here saying, oh, you put Justin Fields with, you know, another great receiver and another great tight end and a better offensive line. This guy, man, you're gonna be sorry when you get rid of this guy.
You know when you say things like that, Groats, when you actually see a quarterback that's good, really good, and you say, man, this guy can just get himself on another team. Woo!
Oh, yeah.
He's going to light this thing on fire.
Right. Hey, you know what?
And Justin Fields do feel that way. Yeah. People do feel that way.
That he will? Oh, yeah. Well, hey, they felt that way about Mitch Trubisky, too. There were a lot of people that felt that way about Mitch Trubisky. Plenty of people who thought the Bears did him wrong. And a lot of people thought that. And, hey, Matt Nagy probably wasn't the best thing in the world for Mitch Trubisky, as it turned out. But as we've learned, I don't think that Matt Nagy, the microphone just went down.
Great.
Yeah, that was perfect. Matt Nagy, I don't think had a whole lot of faith in Mitch Trubisky either.
From the beginning,
all these years later.
But I think that when you go back and look at that time frame, that is what most people thought, right, Groats? We're like, oh, he wasn't handled properly.
Absolutely.
But I think looking back, we can say Trubisky just wasn't that good.
Yes.
Or wasn't good enough, I should say. That
every team in the end, like, he has not found himself. What was his first gig? Working behind Josh Allen?
Yeah.
That's
where he's back right now. They re-signed him.
Quarterback hell right there, right? Yeah. Well, nobody wants to see you, man.
He went back to hell.
He did go back to Baltimore to Buffalo. Yeah, from Pittsburgh.
So that's what I'm saying, girls. I was drinking Trubisky whiskey, talking about it on every single TV show that I would go on.
Dude, I understand. I'm not
now
even
I'm
mad
like,
at you for that.
No. Fields, I'm not smoking on those fields.
You have really matured way too much, as a matter of fact, to a level that I'm not even comfortable with.
Same.
Yeah. Oh, that you're not comfortable with.
I hate this Gabriel.
Yeah, Harris. Yeah. I don't know, man.
Now, the good thing is this. If we were to watch a game together, like when I do my Fox show on Sunday with Corey Wooten.
Yeah.
I'm at these places, I am full fandom.
Oh, like, you are?
Oh.
For the Bears games and stuff?
During the games?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm still me during the games.
Yeah, okay.
I'm emotionally connected to every single second of that game.
Is there anything more sacred to you than a Bears game, like in terms of making sure you're watching it in real time? Because I'm just thinking about my...
No, I got to be honest. I'm one of those people that's like, hey, Sundays, you already know what it is. Don't talk to me.
Oh, yeah. Just because you're focused on the game.
I don't go to birthday parties, baby showers.
Amen. Oh, no.
I mean, I'm usually working. But right. when I'm not working, especially if I'm not working,
yeah.
I am not going to your 4-year-old's birthday party on Sunday. I'm watching this Bears game.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we're going to take some more calls on the other side. 312-644-6767. We got someone that disagrees with our offensive line take
okay.
when it comes to the Chicago Bears. We'll take his call, and we'll take yours on the other side. It's Gabe. It's Grody. It's 670 The Score.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Gabe Ramirez and Mark Grody on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Going to take a couple of phone calls. Then we got a special guest hanging out with us. In a second, it is Gabe and Grody. This is 670 The Score. Let's go to Greg out in Lincolnwood. Greg, welcome
to
the show.
Good evening, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. It's my first time hanging out with you guys. I really dig your vibe. And I need to say up front that I am a Packers fan and I come in peace. I have lived in Illinois for 30 years, and I feel like I've been kind of an inside scout on what's happening with the Bears. And I think the Caleb Williams opportunity cannot be minimized. And given the O-line chat that was happening before, you know, he said yesterday or the day before that Rodgers was his GOAT. Mm-hmm. And you look at what Rodgers did to pressure. Yes, he had a good to very good offensive line much of the time, but when you have a quarterback that can actually break down defense, analyze pressure pre-snap, yep. and adapt,
yes,
that raises the level of the O-line significantly, and Fields has not done that, maybe not once in his career. He takes off running and gets himself into trouble, and it looks like Williams has the potential to be that kind of quarterback, and it honestly scares the bejesus out of me because this could be the first good Bears quarterback since McMahon.
Well, yeah. you're not going to be as scared as we are about Jordan Love in the present, Greg.
Ooh.
Which, by the way, Greg, you feel free to you could be a part of our show because it's Gabe, Grody, and Greg, yeah. Triple G.
Greg, we welcome you.
Yeah,
we appreciated the caveats you gave and the disclaimer. Understandable, but especially since you sounds like you agree with us, and it was a really good point too.
Yeah, we know Caleb can get the ball out quickly. That's what we do know.
Right.
Look at my dad calling me right now.
What?
Pops.
Oh, is he listening?
Oh, no, of course not.
You better not be listening. Come on.
Hey, Pops.
What's up?
I'm on the radio. I'm on 670 Score. I got the phone on the microphone right now. Don't curse.
Oh, my bad.
What's
my
up,
bad.
Mr. Ramirez? Mark Grody, big fan.
All right, Pops. I'll talk to you later. Oh. A little bit. Oh, man.
Caleb or Justin? Mr.
Yeah,
Ramirez.
I should have talked to him right there. Yeah,
what side does he stand on?
Let's go out to the phone lines, man. We got the Circa Resort Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. 9-year NFL vet, good friend of the show, Clay Harbor, hanging out with us. What up, Clay?
What's up, fellas? And, you know, just listening to the last convo you're having, Caleb Williams is one of the worst players in college football as opposed to getting rid of the ball. According to Next Gen Stats, he got rid of the ball in over 3.15. I don't got the stats in front of me, but literally 1/10 of a second faster than Justin Fields did in the NFL. So for people saying that he gets rid of the ball a lot faster than Justin, he's got a quicker release. I think he can read things faster. But when you look at the numbers don't lie. He's literally holding on to the ball just as long as Justin. And then you got the fumbles, right? 33 fumbles in 31 games. I still got high hopes for Caleb. I think the guy's got unmatched potential. He can sling it. He's got a quick release. He's got vision, keeps his eyes downfield. But there's still a lot that this guy's got to improve on. And one of the big ones I saw is he's got to learn how to get rid of the ball faster.
But, Clay, you got to understand, right? I mean, the numbers are going to be high just like they are on Justin because of the scrambling, right? That's where the inflated number on holding the ball too long gets you know, to that point is because you've actually gotten there. But when you see him actually in plays in certain games against Washington, against Utah, where he's at the line driving his team down in two-minute drills, and he's literally getting the ball out quickly to his receivers and executing and coming through on certain drives.
I think they take that into account. I'm not sure how they do that with the staff, but I think there's some formula where they take into account scrambles, and they don't put that on typical dropbacks. But the first part of your argument is, you know, against Washington and Stanford, okay? This is
Utah,
an NFL Stanford and Utah. I'm sorry. You look at Justin Fields in the college football playoffs. I mean, this guy looked like he was, you know, a Hall of Fame quarterback. We were thrilled to get him in Chicago. I'm just saying, watching Caleb's tape, it's obvious to see that the guy is talented. The guy can do a lot of things, but I just want people to be ready. He's not going to come in and be a Pro Bowler. I don't see him being C.J. Stroud. Obviously, nobody saw C.J. Stroud coming, but I had him as my QB1 last year. No big deal. I had to throw that out there, too. But it's going to take time to develop this guy. He's got a lot of flaws in his games, extremely talented, but people got to realize he's not going to come in and be some kind of savior.
I hate that concept. I am more into a savior concept, a savior complex, and I think that, you know what, man, if he's ultimately not the savior, I think there's going to be a lot of people that are disappointed. But
go ahead, Clay.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, like, I think he can be that guy. He can be great. He can turn out to be a franchise quarterback. But I just wanted to say, like, it's not going to be a day one thing.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? It's funny. The last time that I was held under these sort of restraints was with Connor Bedard, the Blackhawks.
Okay.
Because that was the same thing. I was like, this guy's going to 3 goals a night. And I think it was David Haw who said, it's not going to happen right away. Relax. He's not going to come out and score 2 goals a game. And those are going to be the expectations. It's fun. I guess while we're on this sort of line of content when it comes to him, like, when he does struggle, because that's what young quarterbacks do, no matter who you are, Peyton Manning, Troy Aikman struggled mightily early on. Is it going to be more ferocious against him than normal quarterbacks just because of the way Caleb Williams has carried himself, everything with the medicals and being a millionaire already? Has he set himself up to a point where he cannot fail and not get all the crap in the world?
Yeah, it's going to be tough, too, because obviously a lot of Chicago still loves Justin Fields. And I'll be honest, like, just to even to think that the guy's going to come in, like, trust me, guys, I've been through this. When I came in, obviously I'm coming from an FCS school. I played 9 years in the league. The biggest jump from a player is from your first year to your second year. That first year, you don't know what to expect. You've never seen an NFL defense before. You've never seen an NFL blitz before. You're running this Cliff Kingsbury fun and gun offense. You're not throwing the ball out of breaks over the middle of the field on timing. Blitzes coming, disguised coverages. This isn't student athletes anymore. This is your job. It is difficult, and that's why it's so crazy to me what C.J. Stroud was able to do last year. But you got to have some grace for this guy. It's going to take a while. But to your point, yes, I think it's going to be difficult because the person he is, him saying, hey, I want to be legendary. I want to be a guy that leaves this game. He's not talking about coming in and, you know, being okay and just learning and taking it one day at a time and just focus on getting better, being better myself every day, you know, being one of those guys focusing on my habits. He says, I want to be a legend. I want to be the greatest. I'm not comparing myself to anybody. You come in and you say that paints a target on your back if you don't come in and do that. So for me, it's like, I like my guy to be confident. I like confidence, trust me. But you're painting a huge target on yourself when you come in saying these things. Yeah, I'm not going to do my medicals. There's only one me. There's only one team that can draft me, so the Bears get my medical. You're painting a target on yourself if you don't back it up. So for him, I think that's a little more pressure for him to back it up. I don't think he's a guy that thinks about the pressure. And he's extremely confident in himself. But if that does happen, and trust me, it is a big jump to go from playing against college kids to these grown men in the NFL and these defensive coordinators scheming up things just to stop you. So there's a big target painted on his back for who he is and how he's been acting with everything.
We're talking to Clay Harbor, 9-year NFL vet here on 670 The Score. Gabe Ramirez along with Mark Grody. I think it'll be like anything else if he struggles, Mark. I think, you know, people will be split. There's going to be the haters and there's going to be people that defend them, right? Because that's just what is happening with this situation. But, Clay, I'm more curious about his teammates, right? If he comes to Chicago, You know, what will it be like as a rookie coming in to that locker room? Like, how will the vets treat him? How would you treat him if Caleb Williams was coming to your team?
It's going to be interesting. It's definitely going to be interesting because, like you said, he's coming in. He's probably worth more than half the guys on the team, which just isn't normal, you know? This guy's making more money at USC than these guys are in the league. Obviously not Jalen Johnson, who just backed up the Brinks truck today. Shout out to him. Congratulations on that. But it's going to be different because first things first, he's replacing a guy that a lot of teammates love, right? So everybody loved Justin. You're replacing this guy that was such a big personality. People loved him. He had great, great relationships with the O-line, with the receivers, with the running back, with the team. So now it's going to be a little harder for him. And then he comes in with this big personality. He hasn't taken a snap yet. To me, when guys came in like that, I always thought it was funny. He's like, oh, they're gonna find out something real quick. They come in and they're like, oh, I'm gonna be, you know, this and that. And I always wait. I go, let's wait till training camp. I don't care who you are. Let's wait till training camp. Then things will change. So he's gonna have to earn the respect. I think at first people are gonna be a little bit, you know, I don't know about standoffish. Let's see what this guy is. But if he comes in, he puts his head down, backs up his talk, shows that he's able to work. He's gonna work in the weight room. He's gonna put in the extra time on the field. He's going to fly the guys out to California in the offseason to throw with them to get ready for the season. If he does all those things and backs up all that talk and realizes you're not just going to walk into that, it's going to take an obsessive amount of work if you want to be who you're saying you want to be. If he does that, he'll win the locker room. But if he doesn't, if you're a guy that comes in, you think that you're just better than somebody because of your talent and your ability, that leads to problems. I don't think that's Caleb. I think he'll come in and put the work in. But if he doesn't, there'd be some problems.
Yeah, the warning noted for him. And, yeah, I'm with you on it. It feels like, I mean, especially a guy who's kind of been groomed to be a quarterback his whole life, I hope that he hasn't left out a little bit of humility when he gets to the NFL, or he's going to learn really quickly for sure. Hey, Clay, can I ask you about a tight end? You mind if I ask you about a tight end?
Oh, I love that. You know I love talking tight ends, bro.
I know you do. I know. You've been a little ahead of the curve on Cole Kmet. So have you had a chance to either watch live or study Georgia's Brock Bowers? And if you have, what do you think of him?
I've got to study a few guys, and I'll start with Bowers. You know, I like Bowers. I think Bowers is good. The guy can catch. He's big. He can run. I think he's a weapon. They gave this guy end-around handoffs, great run after the catch. I think he's going to be a solid tight end. I don't think he's some crazy route runner. I think he's got great yards after catch. He catches the ball. He can go. I think he can confuse a lot of defenses with a guy like Brock Bowers. I wouldn't mind Brock Bowers being there at 9 and taking him. I wouldn't be upset about it. I wouldn't be thrilled, but I wouldn't be upset. I think Bowers has a skill set that you can use. But there's two other guys that I do love, Grody, these late-round guys. One of them just completely tore up the combine. His name's Theo Johnson from Penn State. I saw him when I was down at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. So he's more of an in-line guy, but that's a guy you can line up two tight ends, one on each side of the line of scrimmage, and just pound teams, pound teams, pound teams. Next thing you know, you got to play action down the field. This guy ran a 4.58 at 265 pounds. He had a 40 in vertical. He had a 10.5 broad jump. This guy had a 4.25, 10.5 drill. I mean, complete freak. And then Ben Sinnott from Kansas State. Wow. 40 inch vertical, 10.5 broad jump, 4.640. Ben Sinnott, 6.4, 250 pounds. The guy that can line up anywhere on the field. I'm talking fullback. I'm talking slot. I think you can get Sinnott in the fourth. I think you can get Johnson in the third. So if you don't go Bowers, who I do like, I like Bowers. I'm not in love with him, but I like him. I'm in like with him. Then these two guys, Theo Johnson and Ben Sinnott. Remember we had this conversation.
Yes.
These two guys are going to be steals.
I literally writing it down on a piece of paper with a Sharpie right now and just circled them. I am keeping notes here, Mr. Harper.
Clay, I appreciate you jumping on with us, man, and giving us some insight not only to the tight ends, but just your updated opinions on how much you don't like Caleb Williams and you want Justin Fields to be here.
No, I like Caleb. Don't put that out there, Gabe. I like Caleb.
I didn't say
that.
You said
I think he'll be successful. It's going to take work.
Your hate is
walk there and be pro bowler.
Your hate is a turnoff, Mr. Harper.
Clay, go ahead and enjoy your workout, bro. It sounds like you're at the gym. Have a good one, bro.
I am at the gym.
I know. I can tell. I got you. Clay Harper, ladies and gentlemen, 9-year NFL vet. I knew he was at the gym.
Bruh.
He's always like, Gabe, you got to come work out with me, man. I said, I ain't working out with your ass. You crazy?
Oh,
that's crazy. You know, I was going to say, good of him to take the time to talk to us while I was working out, but doesn't he work out like 8 hours a day? So he does everything. Everything is done like in little spurts of not working out.
And it's literally what he told me. I was like, how long do you go to the gym for, bro? He's like, I don't know, like 3-4 hours.
What?
And I was like, what?
Oh, man.
And he's like, but. He's like, but I don't got kids, Gabe. I don't got a real job. He's like, I go to the gym. He's like, I might go to the sauna for half an hour. Then I might hit the treadie for half an hour. Then I might take a break. Then I might go to the gym. Then work out. Then I might take a break and eat a drink of smoothie. Then I might go over here. Like, he spends the day as if it's like the mall.
I would die if I'd spent 4 hours at the gym. I think my body would combust.
Seriously.
The only time I've ever been in the gym for 4 hours playing basketball.
Yeah.
Like, never working out.
If you're doing basketball, that the time goes by a little bit more quickly. I actually went to the gym today. Like, you talking about these 3- and 4-hour workouts. Yeah. I did a 21-minute run today, so I feel just awful. Now, understandably, it usually goes 30, but I got a flu shot and a COVID shot yesterday.
Yeah.
I was feeling it today, man. I almost had to do that. I don't know if I'm going to be able to come in today.
If I can get to 21, I'll be all right.
Yeah, honestly, I went there just to, like, sweat. Maybe I'd feel better. So I said, I'm going to do a 5-minute run. It turned into a 21-minute run. Usually I go 30 hard.
Oh,
I mean, 30-minute hard run every day at the old workout gym. But, it 21 minutes, and I feel better now, so you're blessed to have me tonight.
Thank God it wasn't 4 hours like Clay Harbor. All right, it's Gabe. It's Grody. More stuff on the other side. Don't go anywhere. 670 The Score.
It's Gabe Ramirez and Mark Grody on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios, it is Gabe and Grody. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will have Trevor Sikkema hanging out with us, talking a little bit of sports. And then we got Matt
Trevor's
Miller.
Trevor's going to be talking sports, huh?
A little spawn.
What was that?
Stop, no, bro. I'm not thrown off, man. I want to take phone calls, but I really wanted to talk about Mike Tyson.
Oh, okay.
Did you hear he's going to be fighting Jake Paul?
Yeah.
It's like, bro. There's so many things I have wrong with Jake Paul. One of them is that he lives on my island.
Mm.
He lives in Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rican, okay.
And he lives in this town called Dorado, which is, you know, fairly affluent, right next to San Juan, to the west of it. And he calls himself El Gallo de Dorado. Basically like
the cat.
The rooster. No,
oh,
gallo.
The rooster. Gato. Oh, I thought he was a gato. Okay.
The gallo. It's like the rooster, but think about the bad word that starts with a C for a rooster.
Oh, ooh.
And that'll be your translation.
You could actually say that word if you wanted, but I'm not going to. Settle down.
What word?
Yeah.
Please don't.
Cock-a-doodle-doo!
So I see him, and he's like, but he does this, but his last fight, it was in Puerto Rico, and he donated all of his proceeds to renovating boxing gyms around the island.
Okay.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
A lot of people, you know. So it's like it's like one of those things where, you know, you're getting all these tax write-offs. You're making people feel a certain type of way about the island.
Yeah.
Then the Puerto Ricans themselves aren't feeling that.
Oh.
And then he gives the money, though, to the boxing gyms. And everybody's like, you're really buying into this Puerto Rico thing, aren't you? Because he really is.
That's cool.
Like, he's really like, no, this is it.
Yeah.
This is a great life.
Oh, that's awesome. So they are like, okay, you're one of us. And your contribution. Fraud? They think he's a fraud?
Not
poser.
Not a fraud.
Poser.
It's more like one of those things we were just talking about with Justin Fields and Caleb Williams, where like on the island, I wouldn't say it's split, but there are differences of opinions where people feel like, hey, you're the gentrifier coming into the island, trying to make it your own.
Oh, okay.
Right? Every beach in Puerto Rico is supposed to be public.
Yeah.
And so like some of the people that live in like Dorado and stuff like that, they've built these difficult ways for you to get to the island intentionally to keep the people out.
Uh-huh.
And so a lot of people don't like that stuff.
Yeah.
It's just way deeper than that. But then the other people, like I said, split, where they're like, but he's giving all his money to the boxing gyms. Like, what are you guys doing for Puerto Rico? At least he's doing something.
Yeah.
You know, he's not just here being a vulture. He's here and he's doing something. And I got to be honest, he really does like the culture. And that part I'm okay with.
Okay.
That part I'm okay with. Now he's facing Mike Tyson. And, you know, everyone thinks he makes a mockery of the sport. But now here he is in an exhibition match against, like, a 60-year-old Mike Tyson. Like, what are we talking about?
And how old is Jake?
like 20. He's telling his 20.
So he's going to demolish Tyson?
No.
Is that what's going to happen? Is that what you're saying?
I would think it'd be a decision of some sorts, yeah. A draw. Like, they'll probably talk. It's WWF for them, or E, or whatever it is. Yeah. So they'll probably talk beforehand and be like, hey, bro, check this out.
So he can kick and all that stuff?
No,
Tyson?
No. It's just a boxing match.
Okay, so this is straight up boxing.
Yeah. It's kind of like when Floyd Mayweather fought the other brother, Logan Paul.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So it's like, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, don't kill me, but like, I'm going to punch you. You're going to punch me. Let's make it a draw.
Yeah.
You know?
Are you a fan of Burt Sugar?
Who?
Burt Sugar. Have you ever heard of Burt Sugar?
I got to Google that.
Oh, no. You haven't heard of him?
Burt Sugar?
Burt Sugar is a boxing, long time boxing analyst.
Oh,
boxing guy.
This guy? Yeah. I know exactly who this is.
Burt Sugar.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, like, maybe sometime, like, if you're really into this, are you really into this match? And or is it just as a...
No, I think it's a mockery of boxing. I really do. I think it's a mockery. It's like, dude, people already feel a certain type of way about Jake Paul. And now you're fighting Mike Tyson, which does nothing for your career.
Yeah.
And
what do you mean it does nothing for his career?
In terms of validity, he wants to be a champion.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
He genuinely feels like, I'm going to win a championship.
Isn't this just, though, a departure from his, like, this is just a fun little exhibition? Does he actually think that this goes on his record, or is this just an exhibition to have fun?
Thank you. I think it's money. It's a money
grab.
So
as long as we all accept that, and it's just sort of a carnival atmosphere, I kind of like it.
I guess in my mind, I thought he was done with the carnival
I see.
Games.
I see.
And I thought he was actually trying to then.
So, because I don't pay attention to it as closely as you do. So this is what people have been like, is this guy's kind of a fraud, he's kind of a poser, and now he does this to further perpetuate that notion. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Robbie, what would you say? I feel like, you know, I feel like you know what I'm talking about when it comes to Mr. Paul.
Yeah, he's like, he's trying to be legitimate, but he also is trying to make a whole lot of money. But
Got you. This is not the way to become legitimate.
Like, he's not going into the ring. He's, like, picking who he's fighting because he has that level.
Okay, but I don't know. Like, in this case, I'm just going to give him a pass because if I'm a boxer and I have the opportunity to fight Mike Tyson, even if it's just ridiculous, I kind of do it and say, I'll get back to my credibility after this fight.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. And I get Mike Tyson's angle as well.
What's his angle?
I'm going to make $5 million for fighting for, you know,
four and I'm going to destroy this kid. I'm going to absolutely destroy him.
Mike Tyson's for sure going to hit him with one solid punch.
He's just such a mean, mean mother in that ring, man. Tyson, oh my God.
Man, you'd have to pay me a lot of money to get in a ring with Mike Tyson.
Is he would he be the scare? Like, in your lifetime, is he the scariest boxer that you've watched?
The most ferocious, fearless All right, coming up next.
I didn't see it coming. Robbie?
Trevor Sikkema will be joining us to talk about the NFL draft. It's Gabe and Grody.
Better than your Pauline Hall impersonation.
The score.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Gabe Ramirez and Mark Grody on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios, it is Gabe and Grody. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will have Trevor Sikkema hanging out with us, talking a little bit of sports. And then we got Matt
Trevor's
Miller.
Trevor's going to be talking sports, huh?
A little spot.
What was that?
Stop, no, bro. I'm not thrown off, man. I want to take phone calls, but I really wanted to talk about Mike Tyson.
Oh, okay.
Did you hear he's going to be fighting Jake Paul?
Yeah.
It's like, bro. There's so many things I have wrong with Jake Paul. One of them is that he lives on my island.
Mm.
He lives in Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rican, okay.
And he lives in this town called Dorado, which is, you know, fairly affluent, right next to San Juan, to the west of it. And he calls himself El Gallo de Dorado. Basically like
the cat.
The rooster. No,
oh,
gallo.
The rooster. Gato. Oh, I thought it was a cat. Gato. Okay.
The gallo. It's like the rooster, but think about the bad word that starts with a C for a rooster.
Oh. Ooh.
And that'll be your translation.
You know what I'm saying? You could actually say that word if you wanted, but I'm not going to. Settle down.
What word?
Yeah. Please don't.
Cock-a-doodle-doo.
So I see him, and he's like, but he does this, but his last fight, it was in Puerto Rico. And he donated all of his proceeds to renovating boxing gyms around the island.
Okay.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
A lot of people, you know. So it's like it's like one of those things where, you know, you're getting all these tax write-offs. You're making people feel a certain type of way about the island.
Yeah.
Then the Puerto Ricans themselves aren't feeling that. And then he gives the money, though, to the boxing gyms. And everybody's like, you're really buying into this Puerto Rico thing, aren't you? Because he really is.
That's cool.
Like, he's really like, no, this is it.
Yeah.
This is a great life.
Oh, that's awesome. So they are like, okay, you're one of us, and your contribution. Oh, so he's a fraud? They think he's a fraud?
Poser? Not a fraud.
Poser?
It's more like one of those things we were just talking about with Justin Fields and Caleb Williams, where, like, on the island, I wouldn't say it's split, but there are differences of opinions where people feel like, hey, you're the gentrifier coming into the island, trying to make it your own.
Oh, okay.
Right? Every beach in Puerto Rico is supposed to be public.
Yeah.
And so, like, some of the people that live in, like, Dorado and stuff like that, they've built these difficult ways for you to get to the island intentionally to keep the people out.
Uh-huh.
And so a lot of people don't like that stuff.
Yeah.
It's just way deeper than that. But then there's the other people, like I said, split, where they're like, but he's giving all his money to the boxing gyms. Like, what are you guys doing for Puerto Rico? At least he's doing something.
Yeah.
You know, he's not just here being a vulture. He's here and he's doing something. And I got to be honest, he really does like the culture. And that part I'm okay with.
Okay.
That part I'm okay with. Now he's facing Mike Tyson. And, you know, everyone thinks he makes a mockery of the sport. But now here he is in an exhibition match against, like, a 60-year-old Mike Tyson. Like, what are we talking about?
And how old is Jake?
Like 20, he's telling his 20.
So he's gonna demolish Tyson.
No,
is that what's gonna happen? Is that what you're saying?
I would think it'd be a decision of some sorts, a draw. Like they'll probably talk. It's WWF for them or E or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So they'll probably talk beforehand and be like, "Hey, bro, check this out."
So he can kick and all that stuff.
No,
to Tyson?
No, just a boxing match.
Okay, so this is straight up boxing.
Yeah, it's kind of like when Floyd Mayweather fought the other brother, Logan Paul.
Oh yeah, okay.
So it's like, you know,
yeah,
it's like, don't kill me. But, like, I'm going to punch you. You're going to punch me. Let's make it a draw.
Yeah.
You know?
Are you a fan of Burt Sugar?
Who?
Burt Sugar. Have you ever heard of Burt Sugar?
I got to Google that.
Oh, no. You haven't heard of him?
Burt Sugar?
Burt Sugar is a long-time boxing analyst.
Oh,
boxing guy.
This guy? Yeah. I know exactly who this is.
Burt Sugar.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, like, maybe sometime, like, if you're really into this. Are you really into this match? Or is it just as a...
No, I think it's a mockery of boxing. I really do. I think it's a mockery. It's like, dude, people already feel a certain type of way about Jake Paul. And now you're fighting Mike Tyson, which does nothing for your career.
Yeah.
And
what do you mean it does nothing for his career?
In terms of validity, he wants to be a champion.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
He genuinely feels like, I'm going to win a championship.
Isn't this just, though, a departure from his, like, this is just a fun little exhibition? Does he actually think that this goes on his record, or is this just an exhibition to have fun?
Thank you. I think it's money. It's a money
grab. So as long as we all accept that, and it's just sort of a carnival atmosphere, I kind of like it.
I guess in my mind, I thought he was done with the carnival.
I see.
Games.
I see.
And I thought he was actually trying to then.
So, because I don't pay attention to it as closely as you do. So this is what people have been like, is this guy's kind of a fraud, he's kind of a poser, and now he does this to further perpetuate that notion. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Robbie, what would you say? I feel like, you know, I feel like you know what I'm talking about when it comes to Mr. Paul.
Yeah, he's like, he's trying to be legitimate, but he also is trying to make a whole lot of money. But
This is not the way to become legitimate.
Like, he's not going into the ring. He's, like, picking who he's fighting
because
he has that level.
Okay, but I don't know. Like, in this case, I'm just going to give him a pass because if I'm a boxer and I have the opportunity to fight Mike Tyson, even if it's just ridiculous, I kind of do it and say, I'll get back to my credibility after this fight.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. And I get Mike Tyson's angle as well.
What's his angle?
I'm going to make $5 million yes. for fighting for, you know,
yeah. four and I'm going to destroy rounds. This kid. I'm going to absolutely yeah. destroy yeah. him.
I Mike Tyson's for sure going to hit him with one solid punch.
He's just such a mean, mean mother in that ring, man. Tyson, oh my God.
Man, you'd have to pay me a lot of money to get in a ring with Mike Tyson.
Is he would he be the scare, like in your lifetime, is he the scariest boxer that you've watched?
The most ferocious, fearless. All right, coming up next.
I didn't see it coming. Robbie?
Trevor Sikkema will be joining us to talk about Love the NFL it. Draft. It's Gabe and Grody.
Better than your Mullen Hall
impersonation. The score.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.